Father God, we just open our hands and we're ready. We're ready to receive your word this morning. So we just pray in Jesus' name over Caleb. He is merely your vessel who's been faithful in listening to you. I pray that you would use him now in this time, that you would speak through him. And I thank you for what's about to happen. And I just pray, Father God, that these seeds would fall on good soil. Have your way in this place, Father God, and have your way in our hearts. Amen.
Thank you, Jess.
Oh. All right. I'm feeling a little nervous this morning, so please be gentle with me. I was told all I had to do was get up here and God would use me, so I'm here. This is my part. Who's feeling good today? Can I get a raise of hands? Who's feeling good? Who's feeling not so good? Has the weather got anyone down? My dad came up with a little acronym. He calls it SAD. It stands for Seasonal Affectation Disorder, and just means he doesn't like rainy days. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Jess. Who was expecting that? If you put your hand up, you're lying. Oh, no, Jess didn't know. So my sermon today is titled Fighting for Our Home. And if you've got sheets in front of you, they'll have the points on them. If you're not sure the metaphor I'm using saying fighting for our home, you can just put the word heaven next to home, because for me, heaven is my home. So my first point this morning, relating to Luke's barbaric barrage on me, is we are under attack. And something we need to remember that we often forget is that this world that we live in is a war zone. Every day that we're here, every second, every minute, we are under attack because we have an enemy who's after us and who wants to get us. Could I have the first verse? That's the first point. All right. Ephesians 6:12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The devil is very real. Jesus confronted him directly, and he was very aware of his existence and his presence. The devil was actually an angel. I'm not sure, for those of you who know this, his name was Lucifer. And he lived at peace with God. God created him. And he started a rebellion against God because he wanted to be God. He wasn't content with who he was. And so God obviously won because the devil had no chance. God threw him down. And later on, when God created us through Adam and Eve, the devil, because he couldn't get to God, he saw an opportunity to attack God by attacking us. And the devil said to himself, oh, this is what I would believe the devil would have said to himself, I know I can't get to you, so I'll attack them, and I'll take them from you, because I can't get to you. So the devil is at your throat every day because he's after God. And the unfortunate part of the story, if you read in Genesis, is he tempted us and we joined in his rebellion. We, in our infinite wisdom, accepted his opportunity to rebel against God because he tempted us and said we could be God. We could be the gods of our own life. We didn't need God. And so we joined in the devil's rebellion. And so because of that, the devil has authority in the world. Because God gave us the world, like Like when my little Phoebe comes along, if I give it to Sandy to look after, and then Sandy gives it to some stranger, that's what we did. God gave us the world in his wisdom. He gave us this place to look after, and we gave it over to Satan. So that's why there's struggle and suffering and pain in the place that we live in, because we gave the world over to Satan. In 1 John 5, chapter 19, it says, "The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Satan controls this world." Sometimes, like I had my back turned away from Luke, we live our lives exposed. We leave ourselves open to the enemy because we're not on guard against him. We're under attack, and we need to be aware of this as we go from day to day. We leave ourselves vulnerable because we think we're in the safe zone. We're not there yet. We're in the battlefield. The world is the battlefield, and we're still stuck in it. And we need to be prepared as we go through our day to day to receive attack, because it hurts so much more. If I knew Luke, I did, but let's say I didn't. If I knew Luke was going to attack me, I could have got Gavin involved. I could have grabbed the chair. I could have created a strategy. I could have done so many other things to prevent it from happening if I was aware and on guard that it was coming. So we are under attack, and we need to be prepared. That is my first point. And in this battle, God has given us the church. We talk about heaven is our home. Well, we also have a home here. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Fury. I must confess, I haven't actually seen it. But it's this story about this band of brothers on a tank. They're a tank group. And they're fighting in World War II. And they have each other in that battle. And we as a church community, we have each other to help us day to day. We don't need to do life on our own. God has given us people to rely on, our brothers and sisters here today. All right, so we're under attack and we need to fight. We need to fight for our home. So how do we do that? Because it's not a physical battle, it's a spiritual battle. The verse said it's against the authorities, the powers of this dark world, spiritual forces. So we can't beat up Satan in the parking lot. I can't go and smash him up. So how do I fight him? So I have three techniques that God's shown me on how we can fight Satan. So I want to bring up our first point. Oh no, my second point. We need to surrender wholeheartedly because God provides our victory. This comes from, can I get the verse then? Yep, Philippians 3:9 NIV. "And being found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." So this was a conversation Paul was having, and you can read verses 1 to 15. And what he's saying in this passage is, it's not by our actions that, as Christians, our power doesn't come in our actions. Our power comes from God. I have a little illustration. Can I get a volunteer? Can I get a volunteer? I got no hands. I need a hand. All right, we got a volunteer. All right. I have with me a balloon. I'm going to give you this balloon. I'm going to ask you to blow up the balloon. All right. That is going to be you in your strength by your works. You're going to blow up the balloon. And then I'm going to try to see if you can get the room and balloon to touch the roof. So, start blowing up the balloon. We'll wait while you do that. Yeah, blow up your balloon. Does someone else want to do it? I think I have a second balloon. Yeah, Luke? All right. And here's one I prepared earlier. So while we're waiting for these balloons to be blown, so these balloons here, right there. These balloons here are us, by our own strength, trying to achieve victory, trying to do something. And this balloon here, so the balloons are us, and the things that are powering it are either our own strength or the Holy Spirit. Come on, Luke. You can stop there.
No, I can keep going.
All right, you able to tie it up?
I have no idea how to tie it, boy.
All right. You got your balloon tied? Can you get your balloon to the roof? Well, you're tall. Maybe this will work. Can you keep it up there? Can you keep it up there? Come on. You're letting it fall. Can you keep it up there?
Sorry, Dad.
Get it up there. All right. And I'm going to, with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to see if my balloon can get to the roof. All right. So my second point, coming back to my second point, is we need to surrender wholeheartedly, because our power comes from God, not by our own works. Like Luke was trying effortlessly, how in vain was it for him to try that when he could have just grabbed that balloon and done that? How much in our own lives do we try to do things and strive to do things in vain when God's standing right over here and he's saying, I can give this to you. Yes. And he's like, I have the answer. Yes. I can take this away. I can give you victory in this space. Yes. I can provide what you need. I'm right here. And we're like, no. I got it. I got it. Yeah. I got it. And he's right here waiting. And we try so hard in vain to do something that he could have just done instantly. And, you know, a portion of the time, it's probably because of pride, because God says, I'm willing to do it to you, for you, but you need to do it my way. And we're like, well, I don't want to do it your way, so I'll keep trying over here. Or sometimes in shame, we don't hear that he is willing to do it. And we think, because of the pain or whatever else is going on, that he doesn't want to do it for us. And so we hide and we try so hard to do it ourselves. But he is here and he is waiting. And he is willing to give you victory. This is very raw. When I was a teenager, I struggled for many years with porn, like many men. And it was like a festering cancer that gave me a lot of shame and a lot of pain. And I tried for a long time to get rid of it on my own. I tried for so long... to get rid of it, and it just kept coming back. I couldn't break the habit. I couldn't break that addiction. I couldn't escape. And I tried to do it probably for 6 to 8 years on my own without God. And then in 2019, I enrolled into the Savos Discipleship School. Whoop, 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 whoop. And within the first week, I gave my heart back to God, and it vanished instantly. I didn't try. I didn't struggle. I did nothing and it vanished. The battle was won for me instantaneously and I played no part in it other than surrender. How in vain, how silly did I look trying? How many wasted years? What else could I have done with my time if I had given it over to God instead of spending 6 years waiting there with that? Not all of our victories are going to be instantaneous, though. I just want to make it clear that You know, sometimes you might feel like, well, I am surrendered to God and the victory's not there. Paul talks about the thorn he had in his side. You can walk, thorn he had in his side. You can walk faithfully with God for many years and still have areas that haven't seen victory yet. I still have things that I struggle with. But thankfully, pornography is not one of them. That is an area where he gave me victory already. Our victories won't always be instantaneous, but I can fight now with such great efficiency because I have the power of Jesus fighting with me. I'm not doing it by myself. I have that strength flowing through me. So that's our first technique to fighting. We need to surrender because that's where our strength comes from. Our second technique to fighting, we can pull up, is we need to serve humbly because his character is our weapon. Can I get the Bible verse up? All right. This is from Philippians. Oh, I don't think it all came in, but I'll read it out to you and it will be on your sheets. Philippians 2, 5 to 8, NIV. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. In the world that we live in, we've learned to fight very differently to God. How do we win a fight in the world? Through violence. Through violence and through force, we take people and land under our control. We subjugate them to our own wills. See, God's not willing to do that to us, and so he has to find a different way to fight. God will never take away your freedoms. He will never force you to praise him, to love him, to obey him. So if he's not going to force you, how does God fight? God shows us who he is. He expresses his character. And he invites us to join him. He invites us to join him. And see, when Satan took a hold of us and corrupted the world, and now we live in a war zone, God had to come up with a way to win this war without taking away any of our freedoms, because that's not something he was willing to do. And so he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to the world to show us all who God was and to show us all what life with God and what life God's way looks like. He showed us a better way and he invited us to join him. And so we decided to kill him for it. And he had every power and opportunity to oppose that, but he didn't, because he wasn't willing to take away our freedom. He made himself obedient to death because he wasn't willing to step on our freedoms. Because one side takes and one side gives. One side breaks and one side makes. One side hates and one side loves. One side is deceitful and one side is honest. There's two forces here. There's the devil and there's God. And this is when we say it's a spiritual battle, it's not a physical battle. They fight over character. And it affects every part of our lives. It affects our actions because our actions express our character. And so are we fighting using the enemy's tactics? Or are we fighting using God's tactics? And so as I'm expressing, and as Jesus modeled, his tactic to fight is to express his character, to model his character. And so service is a great example of that. Because when I serve, I put value into something and I attack my selfishness. When I lost a job over a year ago, and it was really hard for me. And at first, I ran into my pain, and very selfishly, I just got very consumed in myself because I was in pain. And what I found out was that the way that I actually ended up breaking out of that was by serving. So I came to church and I started just helping Andrew out. And I just started helping out doing chores at home. I just started doing little things, serving. I started using these traits instead of these traits. And I didn't want to. I didn't want to serve because it was painful and I wanted to be over here. Just because you don't want to do something doesn't mean you can't do it. And as you start to do something over here, it gets easier and this one starts to fade. Instead of fighting for some of my addiction, instead of fighting the addiction, instead of focusing and obsessing on the negative, instead of focusing on ending my selfishness, I just started serving. And as I started serving, it got easier to stop wanting. As I started giving, it got easier to stop needing, because I just acted out of the character of this side, and it became so much easier as I practiced it over time. So that's our second technique to fight, to act out the character of God, to serve like he served. That's the third point. And our final technique is that we need to see the victory. Philippians 3:14, if we can get it up. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. If I had a puzzle, all right, picture I've got a puzzle, and I invite two people, let's say Luke and Jess, up to do the puzzle, and I just scatter the pieces in front of Luke, and I give Jess the box, who do you think is going to have an easier time doing the puzzle? It's going to be Jess.
Well, I'm not really
good at puzzles. All right, so it's decided. You're equal. You both struggle with puzzles. But Jess is going to have an easier time because she has the answer. Because she knows what's coming. She knows where she's going. If you're on a battlefield and the odds are overwhelming, you see the enemy approaching, and then you hear over the radio, reinforcements are coming, victory's on the way. How much easier is it to press on? Because you know the answer. I want to say that our victory is in heaven. Our home is in heaven. That is where our victory is. That is the answer God has given to us for our struggles. Some of us walk around each day with a haze, lost and defeated, going, God, where's my breakthrough? Where's my breakthrough? Where's my breakthrough? We feel so out of it. And we would ask, I've got depression or anxiety. My marriage is broken up. I've lost a kid. I don't see the victory. All I see is the pain. And to pain like that, I would say it's okay to wail when you've been hurt. When you get shot, it's okay to cry out in pain. It's important for you to process your pain. Our trauma is either transformed or transferred. So it's important when you've been hit and you're in pain, it's okay to express that. But when a soldier gets hit on the battlefield, he doesn't get the operation there and then to take the bullet out and to feel up his head and do the therapy right there, because he's in a war zone. He puts a bandage over it. So he processes the pain. He puts a bandage over it and he keeps running because he's not safe yet. And this is very difficult to say, but pain will continue to follow us for the rest of our lives. While we're here in the battlefield, we will continue to experience pain. It will never end until we get to heaven. So sometimes we get hit and we sit down and go, I'm waiting for the pain to end, but it just keeps berating us because we're still in the battle zone. We're still in the war zone. When I mentioned this earlier, I lost my job over a year ago. It crushed me deeply. I was in so much pain that I ran away. As Satan bombarded me, I ran away into a bunker and I locked myself in. And I ran and I became a stranger to my wife and I became a stranger to the world. And I almost lost my marriage. Thinking of everything that I'm about to receive now, I almost lost it all. Because in my pain, I hid and I ran and I waited for the bombs to stop falling. Satan was barraging me. And I could hear it getting worse and worse, bang, bang. I could hear it, bang, bang. And I just tried to run away and to hide away and wait for it to stop. I was waiting for him to stop. And it just got worse and worse and worse. Satan doesn't care if you're in pain. If he sees that you're down, he paints a target on your back and he says, go get him. If he sees you on the ground, he rolls you over so he can get some jabs in. He will turn the knife and twist it. He does not care what your circumstances are. He sees this as an opportunity to hit harder, not as an opportunity to back off. He will continue and continue and continue and continue. And I ran into some of my addictions. Thankfully, not the one I mentioned earlier, but I ran and I hid and I hid and it just kept spiraling and spiraling and it kept hitting me harder and harder. And you know how I eventually got out? I opened the door and I started running home. The bombs are still falling. I'm still in the danger zone, but instead of running from my pain, I'm running to God. I'm running home. Because we will never stop receiving pain while we're here. Satan will not stop while we're here, but the end is coming. And it's much harder to hit a moving target than it is to hit one who's sitting still. It's much harder to hit a moving target. I want to invite the band up. And as I invite the band up, we're going to have an opportunity for you, if you're either struggling in your pain or if you've lost the will to fight and you need to collapse at the feet of God, I want to also invite, Marty? And maybe vow to come up the front and be available for people if they need prayer, because it's easier to collapse when someone's there with you to collapse with. I just have a few questions I want to leave you with today. Are you fighting? Or have you given up? Because sometimes if you give up, it's not you who takes the bullet. Because when I gave up, it didn't almost cost me everything, it almost cost just everything. Are you running towards heaven, or are you just waiting for it? Is the pain so unbearable? Do you need the Father's strength? If you don't know God, I don't know how you manage. Because the world hits me way too hard for me to be able to do it on my own. And I need God. Because even though each step is torture sometimes, He gives me the strength to take it. When I surrender before Him and accept Him, He gives me that strength to keep moving on so that I can fight to get home, to get where it's safe. I'm not there yet, the song we're going to hear. I'm not there yet, but I'm not where I was. We're making our way home. So if you need to take a taste of home now in your pain, you can come and find it at God's feet.